الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the worlds, and peace and blessings on His Messenger, the last and final Nabi and Rasul, our Master Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, his family, companions, and all those who follow them in excellence until the Day of Judgment. وبعد, thereafter, I want to talk to you today about two tomorrows, one that is certain to come and one that never comes. And let us see why this is important for us to reflect on and work for. About one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقُّ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that is without doubt the true day. So whosoever wills, let him seek a place with to his Rabb by obeying him in this life. About the other tomorrow, which never comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, everyone shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection will you be paid your wages in full. And whosoever is removed away from the hellfire and admitted to Jannah, he only indeed is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. One tomorrow never comes. It is illusory, imaginary, and uncertain. The other tomorrow, which is definite, certain, and real. One tomorrow, which is temporary, both the good and the bad of it, and which we can take the help of others to change. The other tomorrow, which is permanent, both the good and the bad of it, and where we will be absolutely alone, helpless, naked, and powerless to change anything. Where we will not even be able to speak unless we are permitted, and where nobody can or will speak for us. About that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَانِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Allah said, from the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, and whatsoever is in between them, the most beneficent, none can dare to speak with him except by his leave. The day that Ar-Ruh, Jibreel alayhi salam, and the angels will stand forth in rows, and none shall speak except him whom Ar-Rahman allows, and only he will speak what is right. So what is it that we fear about tomorrow? I want you to do a quick analysis. What is our worst fear about the tomorrow of this life? I want you to seriously think about this and reflect on it. I want you to do what we call a worst case analysis. Ask yourself, if everything that can go wrong goes wrong, what is the scene that will unfold before my eyes? Think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 9th of August 2011. Now think about that day, Tuesday the 9th of August 2011. Say, ask yourself, what is the absolute worst that can happen to me? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from it. But for the sake of learning, just sit with a pen and paper and write down what is the absolute worst that can happen to you, whether it is in terms of yourself or your wealth. Now, think about your health, think about your children, think about your property. everything and say, what is the absolute worst that can happen? What are all the things that can possibly go wrong? I'm sure we have imaginations healthy enough to scare the living daylights out of ourselves if we let them. Once you've done that and scared yourselves clear through to next week, ask yourself this question: how likely is it that all this will actually happen? That all this will actually come to pass? Is whatever I put on this paper, actually, is it likely to happen? And is it likely to happen all at once? Now, if you think about some things, some things that you may have put on that paper can't possibly happen together. For example, you can't have sickness and death in the same way, and so on and so forth. So obviously, number one, how likely is it that all of this will happen? And how likely is it that all of this will happen at once, at the same time? Now, once you have done that, then ask yourself, for the sake of argument, if all of this does happen, how long will the grief and the pain and the suffering of it, physical and emotional, how long will it last? The answers are clear enough, but I will state them for you. The answer to the first question is, first of all, there is no possibility at all for all of this to come true at the same time. At worst, one or more of these things may happen because some things are self-contradictory. As I said, for example, sickness can't come with death and so on. So we will accept that at worst, a few of the possibilities that we fear may actually happen. This answer to the second question, how long will the pain and suffering of it last, is even simpler. The pain and suffering will last at most as long as we live. And that is also at most. And then it will end, because everything in this life ends with death. Now look at the tomorrow that is certain and do the same exercise. And imagine what is the worst that can happen in the tomorrow that is certain. And also let us see how long that will last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ وَظِلٍّ مِّن يَحْمُومٍ لَا بَارِدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُتْرَفِينَ وَكَانُوا يُصِرُّونَ عَلَى الْحِنْثِ الْعَظِيمِ وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ أَوَآبَاؤُنَا الْأَوَّلُونَ قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَمَجْمُوعُونَ إِلَى مِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ أَيُّهَا الضَّالُّونَ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرٍ مِنْ زَقُّومٍ فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ فَشَارِبُونَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَمِيمِ فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْهِيمِ هَذَا نُزُلُهُمْ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ.
In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those on the left hand, who will be those on the left hand? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this fate. And then Allah says, in fierce hot wind and boiling water and shadow of black smoke, that shadow is neither cool nor even good. Verily, before that, they indulged in luxury and persisted in great sin. And they used to say, when we die and become dust and bones, shall we then indeed be resurrected? And also our forefathers say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yes, verily those of old and those of later times, all will surely be gathered together for an appointed meeting of a known day. Then moreover, verily you, the erring ones, the deniers of resurrection, you verily will eat of the trees of Zakkum. Then you will fill your bellies therewith and drink boiling water on top of it. So you will drink that like thirsty camels. That will be their entertainment on the day of recompense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how long will this last? وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ
جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا.
And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then verily for him is the fire of Jahannam, and he shall dwell therein forever. There are many other ayat, my brothers and sisters, to the same effect, all of which prove for the believer that on that certain day, a day of judgment, a bad ending is not only unimaginably bad, but it is forever. And that is nothing that he or any of his friends or supporters can do to help him if he ends up with a bad ending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from a bad ending. Now look at another side to our two tomorrows. Once again, I ask you to sit with a pen and paper and write down the absolute best that can happen to you tomorrow. And that tomorrow is Tuesday, the 9th of August, 2011. Now let your imagination go to town. Just let your desires flow. Imagine whatever you like and write it down. And once you have these fabulous lists of Enzos and Bentleys and Rolls Royces and foods and clothing and jewelry and handbags and shoes, lovely children, wonderful home, beautiful family life, respect and love of all those who are around you, Tilawatil Quran and beautiful masajid and name and fame and power and roads being named after you and cities being named after you and you being made the governor of this place and the king of that place, let your imagination run wild and then ask yourself the same question. And the question is, how possible is it that all of these things will actually happen? And second question, how long will the pleasure of each of these things last? The answers are clear enough, but once again I will state them for you. The answer to the first question is, there is no possibility whatsoever for all of these things to come true at the same time. A couple of things may happen, all the rest will remain a mirage to the end, which unless we have some sense, we keep chasing and it keeps running away from us. And the answer to the second question, how long does it last, is even simpler. The pleasure can only last as long as I live. And in all cases, the pleasure actually decreases with use and ends long before death. The first time I remember when I traveled first class in a plane, I couldn't sleep because I was so dazzled by first class and all the luxuries of first class. Today, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me travel first class everywhere, and 9 times out of 10, I tell the cabin attendant, I say, just do not disturb me, I don't want to eat anything, I just need to sleep, and I go off to sleep. The pleasure of first class, that's all that it is. So no matter how long it lasts, the pleasures of this world end with death. And because everything in this life ends with death, and in most cases, the joy of that pleasure ends long before death, either because we get too old to enjoy it, or we just get used to it. And subhanAllah, we can get used to anything. Now let us look at the pleasures of the tomorrow, which is certain, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His beautiful kalam, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نضرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا
وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ خُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِآنِيَةٍ مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ كَانَتْ قَوَارِيرَ مِّن فِضَّةٍ قَدَّرُهَا تَقْدِيرًا ويسقون فيها كأسا كان مزاجها زنجبيلا عينا فيها تسمى سلسبيلا ويطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون إذا رأيتهم حسبتهم لؤلؤا منثورا وإذا رأيت ثم رأيت نعيما وملكا كبيرا عاليهم ثياب سندس خضر وإستبرق وحلوا أساور من فضة وسقاهم ربهم شرابا طهورا إن هذا كان لكم جزاء إن هذا كان لكم جزاء وكان سعيكم مشكورا.
Subhanallah, the beautiful kalam of our Rabb. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what He has kept for us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to deprive us after hearing what He tells us, of actually making it and decreeing it as in our qadr, that we and our parents and our children and those who come before and after us will actually enjoy these in the Jannah. Allah says, verily the abrar, the pious people who fear Allah, the muttaqoon, who avoid evil, shall drink a cup of wine mixed with water from a spring in Jannah called Kafur, a spring wherefrom the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drink, causing it to gush forth abundantly. They are those who fulfill their vows, and they fear a day whose evil will be widespread, and they give food in spite of their love for it, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the miskeen, to the orphan, and to the captive. And they say, we feed you seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's countenance only, and we do not wish for any reward, and we do not even wish for thanks from you. Verily we fear our Rabb, a day that is hard and distressful, and that will make the faces look horrible from the extreme dislike of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from the evil of that day and gave them Nadratan, a light of beauty and joy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those about whom this has been said. And then their recompense shall be Jannah and silken garments, because they were patient, reclining therein on raised thrones, and they will see there neither the excessive heat of the sun nor the excessive bitter cold of the winter. And the shade thereof is close upon them, and bunches of fruit thereof will hang low within their reach. And amongst them will be passed around vessels of silver, and cups of crystal, crystal clear, made of silver. Subhanallah, the descriptions of Jannah. Transparent silver, can we imagine this? Crystal that is made of silver. They will determine the measure thereof, small or big, as much as they wish, according to their wishes. And they will be given to drink there a cup of wine mixed with zanjabil, a spring there called salsabil. And around them will serve boys of everlasting youth. If you see them, you would think that they were scattered pearls. And when you look there in the Jannah, you will see a delight that cannot be imagined, and a great dominion, freedom and power and authority. Their garments will be of fine green silk and gold embroidery, and they will be adorned with bracelets of silver, and their Rabb will give them a pure drink. Subhanallah, their Rabb will give them a pure drink. And it will be said to them, verily, this is a reward for you, and your endeavor has been accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those about whom this has been said. And how long will this last? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَهْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا.
Allah said, but those who believe in Islam and do deeds of righteousness, we will admit them into gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. Allah's promise is the truth, and whose words can be truer than those of Allah? Let us therefore examine our attitude, my brothers and sisters, with respect to these two tomorrows. How much time and energy and emotion and focus and resources do we spend on the tomorrow that never comes? And how much time and energy and emotion and focus and resources do we spend on the tomorrow which will certainly come? We must do this exercise and analysis, especially as we claim to believe in the tomorrow which is certain, and in the meeting with our Rabb, and we say about ourselves that we are sincere, that we are not munafiqoon. If we say this, and if we are indeed truthful, then our actions must support our claims. This is only logical. So let us look at what we actually do. I won't try to describe what we do, because we are well aware of what we do. And this is not an exercise to look at others, but to look at ourselves and to ask one simple question. How much is for the tomorrow that never comes, and how much for the tomorrow that will certainly come? There is a very simple reason why we spend far more time in things that have to do with the tomorrow that never comes, and very little time with the tomorrow that is certain, even though we call ourselves intelligent, logical, scientific and reasonable. And that is because the tomorrow of this world is more real to us than the tomorrow of the Akhirah. That is because we talk about it all the time, and we are told about it through the media and advertising, and we learn about dealing with it in our studies and so on. But as for the tomorrow which is certain, we neither talk about it, nor is there any advertisement, nor for many of us do we really read or listen to the Quran with understanding. So that remains in the realm of holy thoughts to be read and forgotten. It is very necessary that we talk about the promises of Allah so that they become real for us, and that we don't treat them as fairy tales. The promise of Allah is true, and we need to believe it, and we need to look forward to it, and we need to prepare for it, and we need to get the best of it. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that we have no guarantees about the tomorrow that never comes, either for its good or for its evil, but we have the guarantee of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tomorrow that is certain, both for its good as well as for its evil. So the question is, how much do I truly believe Allah? How much do I truly believe the promise of Allah? Subhanallah, we have to ask ourselves this question again and again, and make sure that the answer is true for us. Once again, our actions are the true reflection of our stated beliefs. If beliefs are not reflected in actions, then one must certainly doubt that belief. What use then will be such a belief on the day when there will be no one to help us? Let us prepare for that day, which is the tomorrow, which is certain. Finally, let me tell you about those who understood the difference between the two tomorrows and used them as they are supposed to be used. Use the tomorrow of this world to invest in the tomorrow of the Akhirah. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, we left for Hajj with the agreement that we would meet at Al-Aqaba in the Ayyamut Tashriq, that we would meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Al-Aqaba in the Ayyamut Tashriq. In the night, we went in ones and twos until we all gathered in Al-Aqaba. When we were there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, and with him was Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib was the only non-Muslim in the meeting. He spoke first and he said, you know the position Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has with us. He has our protection and is safe in his town. He now wants to join you. If you are sincere in your promise to protect him and support him, then it is up to you to stand by your promise. If you intend to abandon him and give him up to his enemies, then leave him now. Abbas Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was trying to get a firm commitment from Al-Ansar. Al-Ansar said, we have heard Al-Abbas. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask what you want from us and take whatever you want from us for yourself and your Rabb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then stood up and said, I ask you to pledge. I want you to listen carefully, my brothers and sisters.
because this is the same pledge that we are giving to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the Rabb of Muhammad when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. This is the same pledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he said, I ask you to pledge that you will defend me like you defend your women and children, that you must pledge to hear and obey me in times of action and in times of no action, to give in times of ease and times of hardship, to advocate good and forbid evil. You must speak out for Allah and not fear any blame for speaking for Allah. You must help and defend me if I come to you in the same way as you defend your wives and children. Al-Bara bin Ma'ruf radiallahu anhu stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, I swear it, we are warriors from father to son for many generations. Abul Haytham stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, we have some ties to some people and we are afraid that if Allah gives you victory, then you may leave us and return to your people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am of you and you are of me. I will battle those who do battle with you and I will be at peace with those who are at peace with you. As'ad bin Zurara stood up and said, slowly now, we only came here because we know that he is the messenger of Allah. But now if we take him with us, then we will be boxed in with swords around us. So if you have any fear in your hearts, leave him now. That is better for you. They pushed him away and said, we are ready to support him and we will be with him to the end. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will you give us, Ya Rasulullah, if we support you with our lives and wealth? My brothers and sisters, the same question. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. The Ansar asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we heard you and we are ready. But tell us, what will we get? What will you give us if we support you with our lives and with our wealth? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied with just one word. He said, Jannah. He said, Jannah. But you know, that is not the bottom line of the story. The bottom line of the story is the response of the Ansar. When they heard this, a man is asking them to support him with their lives and with their wealth. And when they ask him, what will you give? He promises them something after they are dead. He promises them Jannah. You know what they said? They said, Subhanallah, what a wonderful deal this is. This is the best deal, the most profitable deal. My brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves, what was it that the Sahaba was seeing that we are not seeing today? What is it that the Sahaba understood that we don't understand today? What is it that the Sahaba knew that we don't know today? What made it easy for them to invest in the Akhirah? What is difficult? Why is it difficult for us today to invest in the Akhirah? The answer is that it is not in the knowing, but in the certainty with which we believe what we know. It is not in the iman, but in the yaqeen on the iman. It is only when we know something with complete certainty that we act. Shaitan uses doubt as his weapon to misguide us until he succeeds in depriving us of iman. May Allah protect us from this, because if this happens to us, in the end, we will die without iman and enter the hellfire forever. Some of us indulge in haram even when we know it is haram, and while we claim to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in his punishment for haram. How does this make sense? We are sacrificing the tomorrow which is everlasting for momentary pleasure in this dunya. We spend without stinting on ourselves and to fulfill our desires, but we will not spend for the sake of Allah and for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he called it a loan and promised to return it manifold. We deprive people of their rights, knowing full well that we will be called to account and that the punishment will be so severe that whatsoever so-called benefit we derive from our oppression in this world cannot compensate for it. Yet we do it. Why? Ask yourself, why am I sacrificing the life of the hereafter for the deception of this dunya? My brothers and sisters, all these are signs of the weakness or the absence of faith. For the weakness, signs of the weakness or the absence of iman, and the indication that we are headed for a bad ending, that we are headed for su al-khatima. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. We need to mend our ways immediately, because we have no idea when the tomorrow that is certain will be upon us. Then the doors of tawbah will close forever and we will be called to account without any delay. Any delay in making tawbah and preparing for the tomorrow that is certain indicates that we don't really believe that it will come. But remember that tomorrow, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, that tomorrow is haqq, it is the truth, it is real. And whether we believe or not, it doesn't matter. The mark of reality is that it does not depend on belief for its existence. Reality is real whether you choose to believe it or not, and reality bites hard. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.